Well, I'm glad you have joined us as we continue studying the book of James. This is the 16th in the series. Now, as we turn the page from James chapter 3 to James chapter 4, we would do well to remind ourselves of the purpose of his letter. Now, we can look at this and we can see that there were many issues among the believers, but it all boiled down to their spiritual immaturity. The believers were at war with one another, at war with themselves, and at war with God. So let's look at the first three verses together. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So James begins, what causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Now he wasn't asking them a question for their response. He used their behavior to teach them biblical truth. Quarrels, fights, and divisions among God's people were happening in the New Testament, and they're still happening today. Now, that doesn't mean it's acceptable. It does mean we are still spiritually immature. The members of the church in Corinth were competing with one another in public and suing each other in court. The members of the church in Galatia were described as biting and devouring one another. The members of the church in Ephesus were admonished to cultivate spiritual unity. There were women in the church at Philippi who could not get along. The world watches our internal wars and concludes how we must hate each other. Perhaps this is the reason Jesus prayed for our unity in John 17. Well, what is the testimony of an arguing church? God may be powerful enough to save, but he is not powerful enough to change us. It makes me wonder, do Christians really believe what the Bible says? Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." John 17, 21, Jesus said, "I pray that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus implies our lack of unity leads the world not to believe God sent him. So why are we at war with one another? What stands in the way of unity? Now, if we look at this rationally, as children of God, we belong to the same family. We trust the same Savior. The same Holy Spirit indwells us, and we have the same Bible. Yet we fight with one another. Why? James answered, "Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?" Passions are most often defined in the Bible as sexual desires. With what are our desires battling? We are battling God's desires that he reveals through his word by his Spirit to us. In verse 1, James uses words like quarrels, fights, and waging war. Now, quarrels is fighting or discord. Fights is conflict, physical or non-physical, and it's characterized by bitterness. Waging war is the act of engaging in battle. That's a decision to fight for your desire over God's. The war in our hearts is causing war in the church. The essence of sin is selfishness. We want what we want the way we want it. This attitude elevates our desires above God's desires and always ends in quarrels and fights among God's people. Selfish desires lead to wrong actions. The word desire means to covet what someone else has or to engage in morally wrong activities. For example, we behave irrationally when we desire someone else's position, authority, influence, or possessions and cannot have them. How would you like to be in a fellowship of believers where they murdered each other? James said their unattainable desires led them to murder. James said the desire for their way was so great that they fought and quarreled with other believers. Can you imagine the announcements at church? Good morning. It's a great day in the Lord. We're so thankful for the forgiveness we have received and blessed to be at worship today. You will notice a change in the bulletin. Joe Bob was going to teach this morning, but Billy murdered him last night. Also, there will be no men's class because Jimmy is in the hospital after their fight last Sunday. So now, let's sing praises to our Lord. See, that does not even make sense, does it? What would Jesus do? You know, that's a great question, and it has been popularized over the years. It's just the wrong question. We should ask, what did Jesus do? Jesus always obeyed the Father. He intentionally accomplished God's will on earth as it is in heaven. He loved unconditionally and put aside his crown to serve in humility. Selfish desires also lead to wrong praying. When our praying is wrong, our whole Christian life is wrong. It appears some of the believers were not asking God for direction or wisdom. James said, "You do not have because you do not ask." Then again, some were asking, but they were asking wrongly. "God, I think this is the best way, but I will not do it if you tell me differently." Now, why is that a wrong way to pray? Because we're telling God what we want and then placing the responsibility on Him to supernaturally speak to us. Further, we are praying to our end. We may sound spiritual to each other, but God knows the motive of our heart despite the words of our mouth. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." What is the right way to pray? Well, we're told many examples in God's Word, but let me just give you a suggestion on how we should pray. "Lord, show me the sin in my life that I may confess it before you and repent from it. Whatever you say, my answer is yes. Lord, show me your will that I may follow you and glorify your name." Okay, that sounds nice. But then what? Well, then we study His Word until He speaks through His Word. If I rely on the quietness of my mind, my will be done. We can be sure that God's answer will always be aligned with His Word and His character. It's been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. If we're at odds with God's will inside, there will be a war on the outside. Warren Wiersbe said this about wrong praying. He said, "Sometimes we use prayer as a cloak to hide our true desires. 'But I prayed about it,' can be one of the biggest excuses a Christian can use. Instead of seeking God's will, we tell God what He is supposed to do, and we get angry at Him if He does not obey. This anger at God eventually spills over, and we get angry at God's people. More than one church split has been caused by saints who take out their frustrations with God on the members of the church. Many a church or family problem would be solved if people would only look into their own hearts and see the battles raging there. Our most significant errors as children of God are treating His church as a worldly business and Him as a silent partner. Therefore, if there is arguing, grumbling, mumbling, fighting, or division among God's people, we can say with certainty, God is not leading us. If God is not leading us, Jesus is not the head of His church. If He is not the head of His church, He said the lampstand would be removed. That renders us ineffective as a witness for Christ. As we sit before the Lord and His Word, may we listen to Him and obey. May our actions represent God's character and our prayers be ushered with humility and tears. May His church be unified that the world may know that God sent Jesus. Amen.